Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3, and the focus for markets this coming is this Thursday morning when the Federal Reserve makes their next policy decision, and a lot of questions surrounding whether or not they will begin discussions at least on possibly tapering or starting to ease up on their massive and generous bond buying program meant to support the world's largest economy. Of course, this could also raise more questions as to how the Fed might actually address inflationary pressures, and if interest rates are to rise, what strategies can investors actually employ? So these are some of the big questions we want to tackle today on Market View, and to help us do that, we're joined once again by Jeffrey Haley, the senior market analyst from Wanda. He joins us all the way from Jakarta today, on the line to talk about how he's approaching the Federal's upcoming decision and the many questions that may be raised. Jeff, thank you so much for joining today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health in these very uncertain times. And welcome back to the show. Happy Tuesday, sir.
And to you, JP. Always a pleasure to be here.
All right, Jeff. So listen, as we mentioned, the focus, I think, firmly, at least one eye from the markets, will be focused on at 2 a.m. Singapore time. That's when the Federal Reserve makes their next policy decision. And taper seems to be the word of the week when you talk to markets. Now, the question, though, is when you talk about these possible tapering of these bond purchases, it does evoke memories of 2013 when the taper tantrum really brought up a lot of volatility into markets during that time. This, of course, under former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. Do you think that any mention of possibly tapering bond discussions could bring about some volatility to the market similar to 2013? Or do you think that the discussion of possible tapering of these bond purchases might actually be a good thing for market stability in the long term?
Well, I think there's very little chance of it happening in the meeting when it's announced tomorrow night, US time, Thursday morning, our time. The Federal Reserve over the last month has been very, very forthright in saying that they felt that inflation was transitory and that they were concentrating on the labor market, which is one of their mandates. Now, 7 million Americans are still, there's still 7 million less Americans in a job than there was before the pandemic. And I believe they've been quite open and that's what they're trying to support, that rebound in employment. You know, the market's completely positioned the opposite way, if I can say it like that, for a taper tantrum. So as far as they're concerned, they're almost complacent in their outlook. So I think if the Fed were to mention the dreaded T word tomorrow, it would be a huge fallout in the market, which they wouldn't want to see. I think the most likely time that they're going to start talking about a taper, which is how they've been approaching it thus far like that, would possibly be the Jackson Hole Central Bank Symposium, which is in August, and then that might set the grounds for a bit of a change of language in the September meeting. But I think before then, it's going to be steady as she goes. And I'm not expecting any change of the language or dovishness from the Fed tomorrow.
And that's the thing, right? Language really matters in communication. When you talk about what is needed, at least, to set the stage or just to even set the stage for discussions, I mean, there's a lot of communications and slow but steady hints or communications to really prepare the markets. I mean, even diplomatic messaging, I haven't seen anything this delicate, actually. I mean, just how tricky is this decision? Communicating it properly in a timely fashion going to be actually to make sure that markets don't get rocked too much?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what their way out of this one is, to be honest. Now, I for a long time I felt that quantitative easing by central banks has been going on far, far too long, and it's distorted markets and investment decisions and asset price markets, and that the benefits that were gained from it were being outweighed by the inequalities and the problems that it was storing up, and not just now but in the future. Obviously, the pandemic changed that equation once again, and we had to see this sort of easing come back to support the global economy, just all over the globe, not just in the U.S., The trouble is that areas such as Europe never stopped quantitatively easing since the global financial crisis. The Federal Reserve has pretty much been quantitatively easing since the global financial crisis as well. And the world is now addicted to 0% money from central banks, and I think this is the normal way that things are. Now, we've got over 10 years of asset price and appreciation and investment decisions having been made on the basis of 0% unlimited free money from central banks. putting this genie back in the bottle is going to be very, very challenging. And I think I struggle to see how we won't have some sort of short-term tantrum the second that the Federal Reserve starts signaling that they may be even just thinking about tapering or thinking about starting to talk about thinking about tapering. I expect there would be a short-term reaction and no matter what they do, basically. But I believe that they need to start changing the language extremely subtly later in the year. And then in 2022, when hopefully the global economic recovery has achieved more escape velocity, then the fallout will be less in that stage. But I think for your listeners, what they should understand is that tapering is not really tightening. Interest rates are still going to be around about 0% from the Federal Reserve and other central banks for a long time to come. What they won't necessarily be doing is actually buying bonds and other instruments in the market to flood the market with extra liquidity.
All right, we're speaking to Jeffrey Haley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda here on Money FM 89.3. Jeff, you know, inflationary pressures, at least for this week alone, seem to be showing signs of easing from markets or inflationary concerns. And markets seem to be buying into the Fed's belief that inflation is transitory, despite that strong CPI report from last week. In the last few weeks, actually, markets have been a bit hesitant to believe the Fed, at least with regards to their inflation is transitory stance. What do you think has changed in recent days as to why markets might be a little bit more accepting of the Fed's stance now?
I think it's being led by the bond market, to be honest. And despite the fact that we've seen all of these very inflationary prints, either by CPIs or PPIs from around the world, including the United States, and these huge GDP gains, and we're hearing about labor shortages and raising wages and stuff, despite all of these inflationary signals, the US bond curve, the US yield curve, has actually moved lower. So the yields on US bonds are actually lower than when all this noise started. Now, a bond yield is constructed out of a risk premium and the underlying rate of inflation. And so when bond yields fall, you're either in a recession and or you have low inflation. But this is not a low inflation environment, so bond yields should technically have moved higher. And I think the market had positioned itself for that, and they've been squeezed out. So when there's a squeeze in the bond yields, they fall, prices go up. And I think this is what we're seeing. So I think why the market is now positioning itself for transitory is because no matter what seems to happen, US bond yields just won't go up. And I'm actually quite surprised by that myself, and that probably tells all your listeners everything they need to know, because I thought that yields, US yields, would be quite a lot higher than they were right now. The question about transitory versus sticky inflation is a tough one, because we really haven't seen inflation in the world for 20 years plus. And the world was actually moving into a recession or a slowdown before the pandemic came along. So are we really in an inflationary environment, or is this being caused by short-term stresses within the global supply chains and the reopening of economies after the pandemic? So is it transitory or is it sticky wage price inflation? Now, in the past, those expectations of sticky inflation have proved very short-lived. We just don't know right now. So I think the market has moved to the transitory side of the equation because yields just won't rise around the world. And I'm actually erring towards that myself. I'm not quite sure if we have to be overly concerned about structural inflation making a huge comeback. But there are lots of different opinions on this at the moment around the world and in the markets, and that's what's causing a lot of the uncertainty.
Right. And so when you take this whole picture, you know, we have this inflationary uncertainty, we have the possibility of the Fed, and although they might not do it now, they might actually start to lay the groundwork in coming months with regards to a tapering of these bond purchases. Do you think this actually might be a favorable atmosphere for Singapore markets? How is this perhaps shaping your outlook for Singapore markets in particular, Jeff?
Well, I think higher rates aren't going to be good for some sectors, and those would definitely be such as the property sector, sectors that are sensitive to higher interest rates. So, if mortgage rates went up, for example, that could slow domestic consumption down. Construction firms, etc., have to raise money to build apartment buildings, etc. But certain sectors usually do quite well in a rising interest rate environment. And the most obvious one is banking. So love or hate banks, they usually make a lot more money in a rising interest rate environment, and that's simply because they pay you a low rate for your deposits and they lend it out at a higher and higher rate to all their customers on the other side. They're a business. So that would be one sector of the economy that would do very well, even though they have been doing very well for the last year since the March 2020 sell-off. Another sector would probably be the commodity sector, which is actually fairly prices rise in a high inflation environment for commodities. So companies that have high exposure to manufacturing exporting or producing commodities and the banking sector would be the two sectors I think would benefit most in this environment.
All right. Very interesting insights there. We'll have to leave it at that. I'd like to thank Jeffrey Haley, Senior Market Analyst for Awana, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Jeff, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. And we're looking forward to the next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, have a great rest of the week ahead and have a great afternoon, sir.
Thanks, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.